$300 million for his random initiatives. Yeah, good. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming. I'm sure a few more people will be heading in. So I just wanted to, first and foremost, thank my colleagues for coming on a rainy Thursday. I appreciate that. And we'll try to make it as brief as possible so we can focus most of our time on, you know, sort of the nuts and bolts of what I've been working on. So the purpose of the meeting is to offer an alternative solution to the J-1 bill that we all were very familiar with and caused a lot of good conversation.
Were people familiar with it?
They're going to be more familiar with it. So number one, offer an alternative to the J-1 bill. Number two, offer a first look to my colleagues that were more vocal about affordable housing and homelessness, specifically Councilmember Boylan, who has most likely done the most work on this by far out of any of us. Don't skip ahead. So when I was the packet right here encompasses four goals that I was trying to mainly accomplish. Number one, create a goal that is consistent with the CQLI final report. Number two, create a plan that's consistent with the Affordable Housing Transition Subcommittee report headed by Josh Hicks. Number three, incorporate and expand the homeless trust fund that Council President Salem has already proposed. Number four, create a model that works for Jacksonville and that has the potential to be a model for other cities to use as well. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and have everyone turn to, okay. We need to introduce everyone?
Do we need to? That's typically what one does.
Okay. Yes. All right. Let's start with introductions to my left.
Thank you, Chair, for chairing this meeting. This is Jimmy Peluso, District 7.
Michael Boylan, District 6.
Joe Carlucci, District 5.
Raul Arias, District 11.
All right. And, George, make sure everyone in the audience has these items. Actually, I need one of those. one of each.
Rookie mistake.
Don't have it to memory yet. Thank you. And then one more. Okay. Thank you, Scott. That'd be great. All right. I'm going to wait till everyone has a copy of the CQLI report just so we can really zero in on what we're doing here.
While they're kind of being passed out, I think we may.
George, can you get this to everybody? Scott, I thought you were just handing out the component one. Thank you. Go ahead, Jimmy.
No, so I was. Thank you, Councilman.
Councilman.
So,
Pelosi.
Thanks, JoJo. I want to make sure that we're all talking about the right trust fund. I think.
Yeah, we'll get that.
Okay, good. Because I know the word trust fund's been used a lot.
Correct, and we will discuss that because it is, it's kind of being thrown around a lot.
Yeah.
And I think the scope and the description of homeless trust fund needs to be really ironed out. So we will go through that.
I think my initial impression is what the president is putting in is going to be different than maybe what we ultimately create.
Correct. It's more of a narrow scope.
Yep.
And my plan would be a much more broader scope than that. So, okay, everyone, if you can have the critical quality of life report, go ahead and turn to page page 3, but it's actually page 21 on the bottom right-hand corner. All right, so high level, one of the bullet points on the recommendation for affordable housing was incentivize private sector developers. And second bullet point that's highlighted there under homelessness is determine dedicated recurring funding. So flip the page, go to page 22 in the bottom right-hand corner. So what we're going to be zeroing in on today is incentivizing private sector developers. The city should develop policies and programs that assist, incentivize, and provide capital for multifamily property developers. And then skip down to the other highlighted portion. This should include financial support for the programs of the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority that fund tax-exempt multifamily mortgages, revenue bonds, and single-family mortgages for the first-time low-income residents. And we're going to skip to the last page, page 23, specifically access to financial capital and then go down towards the middle of the page. The current programs of the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority could be expanded further with additional funding from the city. The Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority is the local entity with the experience and the track record to efficiently deliver affordable housing rental or affordable rental housing in Duval County. So just trying to set the stage here of why the plan that I'm proposing will fit into the CQLI report. And then I wanted everyone to go to the Affordable Housing Subcommittee recommendation report. If you'll go to page 3. So goal number 2, increase attainable housing construction. Strategy A, expand and commit recurring local funding aimed at filling identified capital stack gaps and building developer capacity in low to moderate income housing development. Next page. Commit additional funding to the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority and the Jacksonville Housing Authority, which have the ability to use municipal bonds dedicated to low to moderate income housing developments to greatly leverage 10 to 20 times those dollars. Last page. Strategy D, provide incentive to developers and community housing partners to produce low and moderate income housing. Jacksonville urgently needs more developers building or rehabilitating these housing units. Projects characterized by high and or increasing development costs and low revenues generated by low to moderate income housing often do not pencil out for developers, meaning they can't make the numbers work, which is de-incentivizing them for taking on those projects. The subcommittee recommends incentivizing developers who commit to keeping projects or units within a project affordable by doing, number one, providing subsidies or no to low interest loans aimed at closing the gaps in the development capital stack. All right, done reading. So, as you can see, those are the two things that I really focused on for this whiteboard. So really, these four components were just on my whiteboard. So sorry, it's not in a prettier format. But let's see. So far, those are the two things. And I'd like to mention, so far, I've had great conversations with the mayor's office. I've had great conversations with the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority, affordable housing developers. So they all have seen most of this and said, you know, we like the idea, let's see where it goes. And I will say, I do want to have a much bigger noticed meeting once we kind of hash out any of the things here. But this was mainly to kind of get the four of us at this mini dais to kind of start talking about it. So with that, I'll go ahead and share the four components that everyone has in front of them. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through these four components rather quickly, and then we can open it up for discussion where I think, you know, most of the meat of this meeting will be. So the first component number one, I'm proposing to take $5 million a year, commit to 5 years, which would go into the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority with the condition that it has to be used in the format of a loan, and the interest of that loan would then be moved over into the homeless trust fund, which, to Councilmember Peluso's point earlier, we've had a lot of discussion. We've heard a lot of things about homeless trust fund. So I don't want to get too down into the weeds, but this is going to be more of a broad scoped homeless trust fund, not something
chronic homeless.
That's as long as it's doing something for the homeless, I think. Okay. you can tap into these dollars.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
So then that's just the 3% is the interest that is just kind of a ballpark number. It's just thrown out there. It doesn't have to be that. Because different developers, you know, it's got to pencil out differently for different reasons. The main idea is to get it on a loan basis and have that interest go fund the homeless trust fund. And then the principal payments would just go right back into the Jacksonville Housing Finance Authority's account to get recirculated, obviously, to continue loaning that money out. So it makes a nice kind of, I don't know, circular, recycled, you know, dollars. We're going to go to component two. Component two would be to ask for a state dollar-for-dollar match up to $5 million. I have spoken with Representative Wyman Duggan. He said that he is supportive of taking that legislation to Tallahassee to ask for that. It would be in the form of a member project request, which is ultimately he just makes the ask, and it's either funded or not funded. And it can be funded up to $5 million, or it could be as low as 50% of that, or it could be zero. But the ask would be $5 million from the state, and the city's going to match those dollars dollar for dollar. Because generally, if the state sees, you know, their money is being matched, that's a little bit more palatable for them versus just writing a check for $5 million and the city doesn't have any skin in the game. So that's why we would put a match on that. Component number three is the REV grant revision. So currently, without getting, you know, a lesson on REV grants, which I would not be able to fully expand on that, but ultimately, if everyone here kind of knows how the REV grant system works, new development is incentivized oftentimes by REV grants. So right now, let's just say a typical REV grant is 50% will go back to the property owner after they build a new development, and 50% of the property taxes, REV grants are property tax based, 50% goes to the city. The revision, and these numbers are soft numbers, you know, so don't get too attached to these. The revision would be a 50-45-5 type of split. So 50% of the property taxes would continue to be rebated back to the property owner, 45% would continue to flow through to COJ, and then 5% would go into, again, the homeless trust fund, the mega homeless trust fund. And keep in mind, the loan interest is also flowing into the homeless trust fund at that. So what I'm trying to do is get as many you know, dollars flowing into this homeless trust fund as possible. And then number, let me see if there's anything else on that. Oh, and I will say I did ask the council auditors to start working on numbers for what the 50-45-5 would look like. So it might be 5% is, you know, a good number. 10% maybe is a better number. We won't know until we get those numbers back. And then last but not least, this is just something still getting really, really ironed out. So this is to be continued. But I saw this also in the, I think it was in both reports, but like having a community land trust. So what?
You know we have one, right?
Yeah. So it mentioned Jacksonville's community land trust. So I've identified three locations that are high potential locations that total 16 acres of land. So we would take those three locations that are not under ownership of Jacksonville right now, and also flow those into the Jacksonville Community Land Trust. Again, to be continued. Don't want to say too much more about it because I don't want to get in hot water. But that's it. I'll stop talking, and just want to hear from my colleagues what questions or ideas or thoughts that you would like to have.
You want to start first?
Yes, Member Boyle. If I could start, and I do appreciate it. Number one, I kind of want to echo what Council Member Freeman said the other day. It doesn't matter who, it just matters that it gets done.
Correct.
My role is heading up the CQLI report. The work of that committee was really to create the recommendations. So I am greatly relieved in many respects that some of my newer colleagues now are beginning to embrace and picking up some of that and moving it forward, as is the administration. So I do appreciate that very much. As you know, I moved on now to a even probably more challenging special committee that I'm heading up.
Right.
So I welcome the idea that others are looking to pick up the ball and run with it. I think you're on to something here with respect to how do we create a recurring fund.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back and take a look at the report, and I should tell you a couple of things. Number one, we were estimating, as back of the envelope kind of numbers, about $13 million a year is what was going to be needed for us to put the folks that are 50 plus homeless living downtown in a long-term housing facility with wraparound services. Now, I don't know if that's the right number or the wrong number, and that was going to be the next point I was going to raise. There is $100,000 in the budget for us to use to continue the conversation you've started here and run with it. Dawn Gilman is at a homeless conference this week. She promises to bring back to me a couple of consultants that we as a council can embrace to answer those questions I keep talking about. Is this warranted? How much is it going to take? Where's the money going to come from? And who's going to administer it? So those basic questions needed to be answers.
Right.
So I think these are all great components. I think one lesson we learned through the J-Bill experience, a couple that I learned, was I was very much encouraged by the general comments by my colleagues about the willingness to do this. But the rubber meets the road when you say, okay, where's the money going to come from? Mm-hmm. And are we committed to do that? So that's very encouraging to me. But I also learned through that lesson that, and like Atlanta, very different than Miami, you know, did task the private sector and the nonprofit sector to participate in this process. So I would encourage, as we take a look at what this creates in the context of however much money it makes, it's not a big number, quite honestly, as I look at it kind of, you know, very quickly, but even so, even if it is $3 to $5 million from my lips to God's ears, that we can use that to task the community, the private sector, the nonprofit sector, to be part of the solution in building this trust fund. If we're truly calling it a trust fund doesn't draw on the corpus, it only draws on the capital. Mm-hmm. So the return isn't $5 million, it's 5% of $5 million, which is $250,000 that it all generates, really. Mm-hmm. So if we call it, we may not necessarily want to call it a, if it's not an endowment. If it is just a trust fund that you can draw upon the corpus, then I think that's important to appreciate, too. Dolores Weaver taught me the experience of how to take advantage of a trust fund and draw on the corpus if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. But that said, I applaud you for taking the time to do this work. I welcome the opportunity to see other council members take the halter on these two items. And lastly, I appreciate where, and I'd love to learn more about how we're going to be able to create that middle workforce housing and encourage that development in this process. I think it's a great way to take a look at it. There are many others, too. Mm-hmm. We'll also be seeing the Live Local Act. I fully expect that state legislature is going to be revisiting that again this year. Let's see where that takes us, because, quite honestly, in my understanding of the Live Local Act right now, it takes away from us a tool, which is rev grants, because if we're giving the developers the opportunity to consider this a non-taxable investment on their part, that may impact the kind of rev grant return we could possibly see. Right. Those are my few comments. Councilmember Carlucci, I applaud you for picking up the halter, and others have done the same. And I'm gladly to step back and let you guys run with this, because I think I'm just really happy to see it move forward. I encourage you to meet with Dawn when she comes back, and let's sit down and see what we can do to find out just exactly what is warranted, how much is it going to take, and use these as some of the answers to where it's going to come from.
Right.
Thank you.
Councilmember Palooza.
Thank you, Councilmember Carlucci. JoJo, if you will.
So I do have to applaud you for doing all this. You clearly didn't just do this in like 1 hour. And I know you've already kind of told me a few times, hey, there's a thing I want to talk to you about. We'll do a sunshine meeting. Hey, there's a thing I want to talk to you about. You've been saying that for a while now, so I genuinely appreciate the work that you're doing, and I'm glad that you brought in the administration. One of the things I think we need to talk about around here is to make sure we get a few developers and real estate folks in the room to kind of talk to them about the major barriers that they're having. You're absolutely right that building a capital stack is one of the major impediments, especially to doing a lot of these affordable housing, workforce housing projects. I've been doing a lot of work recently trying to find out more about the LIHTC, the low-income tax credits that are provided by the state of Florida via Federal Housing Authority. So that's one of the major ways that people get funds in order to build some of these projects. And then there's always a gap that they need to fill.
Correct.
And you're clearly trying to find how to get the monies to fill that gap, and I think that's important. But it's also probably better for, I mean, ideally I would hope that maybe Council President Salem puts together some kind of affordable or some kind of homeless group to find out exactly where a dedicated funding source will be. Obviously, after we saw what happened with the J bill, we know that that's not going to be a funding source that we could find reliable. My first question for component one, so these are $5 million a year out of the general fund, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So that's obviously a commitment that needs to be made by the administration, I would think. I mean, obviously, we as the city council can kind of do it as we wish, but certainly I'd like to be able to have the administration okay that. And I do like the idea that the JHFA has a role to play in this. Mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, to the models that we've seen in other communities, I would like to see sort of an independent homeless trust. Okay, so that's the other problem. Is this a housing trust? Is this just for solving homelessness? Go ahead.
Yeah, so that's a good point. And I don't remember. I think the numbers that I was presented with for the J1 bill, like 75% of the tax would actually go to building affordable housing.
85. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So quite the lion's share of it. And then the rest of it would be used for homelessness services, right?
Domestic violence victims.
Right. Okay. So the point is though, So of the lion's share, it would go towards building affordable housing. But the homeless trust fund, are you concerned? Oh, well, and one other thing, the JHFA, they are a true independent authority, and what I like about that is that makes them kind of in control, underwriting the loan, picking the developer, mm-hmm. not us. So we don't have to get, you know, bogged down in, you know, favoritism or whatever. And I did vet this idea with one of the larger, you know, affordable housing developers, and they said this makes sense for them. Mm-hmm. It makes the numbers work, and same thing was said by, I think, the chairman at the JHFA was, we need these little fill gap, you know, loans.
Sure.
To get.
I think, you know, giving it to them, they have a lot. There's still some strings that are attached to them. One of the beauty of creating our own homeless trust is that it's a City of Jacksonville thing, right? To one of my compatriots up here, this is a Jacksonville solution to a Jacksonville problem. When it's JHA or JHFA, they still have federal and state strings that are attached to them, and they have a much larger scope, right? So I understand that if we give them more assets and resources, it's great, but they've got a much larger scope that they have to deal with. If we create our own homeless trust, we create a board of private sector and nonprofit leaders that run that trust, mm-hmm. And then, you know, City of Jacksonville maybe provide some funding. I would love to get state funding, and I've got a concern about that in the next page. But also, we've now heard from the civic and the private sector community, because we've been having these conversations, more and more people are waking up to the idea that, oh, yeah, we really do need to do something. So if the city were to be able to put up some money into this trust, ideally, this is my kind of grand plan, and then we get, you know, I'm not going to start calling out major private sector partners, but let's say a few of the really, really big ones in our city, and even some of the smaller ones that also just want a good write-off and a good PR story and also want to do good in our community. You know, we can kind of build out this robust trust. If we get to the double-digit million-dollar number, now we're going to start seeing some real returns and be able to be self-sustaining,
right?
And maybe we don't need to do as large a recurring funding as we maybe did in the past. One of the great things that Miami-Dade Trust does, and I think a few of the other ones, is that they even own a few properties. They've gotten to that place, so they're collecting rent on some of them that allow them to get more recurring funding, and that's kind of amazing as well. Point being, I would prefer there be an independent thing that we create, provide the scope, rather than give it just to JHFA.
Well, the money we're giving to JHA, the homeless trust fund would not be under the JHFA.
I'm sorry. So this is when you say component, you mean we're doing this one thing, we're also going to do another thing.
Well, what I'm saying is basically Jacksonville would give $5 million to JHFA.
Yep.
They would loan it out to developers. The principal would flow back into JHFA. They would be required to basically send that interest on mm-hmm. that loan back to the homeless trust fund that is under the COJ's board or whatever, mm-hmm. which, you know, you can be the chairman of.
I certainly do not. I mean, maybe there should be one council member, but well, I would want it to be. Go ahead.
No, just
please.
Interject. to your point with respect to creating a 501c3 that becomes an entity that can take in the private sector dollars and nonprofit sector dollars, it's a tax deduction investment on their part too. So just the thought to carry further, and it's your conversation, but there is a rationale for creating a 501c3 nonprofit to be the housing and administration of this particular funds, because then the private sector can contribute to it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's fine. I don't think that eliminates anything on this.
But. Definitely not, but I also want to make sure that they're getting the funds necessary to be robust and be able to do the real work
correct.
They need.
Yeah.
To component two about the state match, one of the, and full disclosure, I was a state lobbyist until I was legally not allowed to be. Now I'm allowed to be a state lobbyist again, and I will be soon enough. So I've worked in Tallahassee for quite some time. These member project requests, the state will almost always want you to spend all those monies. So whatever dollar we ask for, usually it's for a legitimate project. If you just say we want it for a fund, they'll balk at it and usually kick it back. Having Chair Duggan leading this is incredibly important, right? So we could assume that whatever he carries, there's a higher likelihood of success. That's a good thing. But I remember, because I had a conversation with him as well, he mentioned that maybe we become a part of a pilot program. I don't know if he said that to you as well. So that would be better than, I think, an appropriation request if, the state legislature said, let's create a pilot program to see how well a homeless trust does, and let's pick, Jacksonville, Florida as the first place to do so for 3 years, and we can get some state monies for that. I think that could be a cool thing. A project request just kind of, if we don't use all those monies, they're not going to give us more monies in the years to come. And you could usually get, I think, upwards of three years of recurring funding. So that kind of limits if the state's going to be buying in more and more in the years to come, especially if we're not hitting the number. Like if we say we're going to build three major projects with that money, we better do it that year. So that's usually what you'll see when it comes to these project requests. So just kind of keep that in mind. Like they could be a bit fickle. Okay. And unfortunately, the state they follow through on this stuff.
Okay, fair.
The REV grant, I know you said the numbers are soft, and I think you're right to say that. I just want to make sure, we do have auditors in here. So do any of the, you can yell from back there. So for the monies from the REV grant, because right now there's 75% REV grants, right, for the most part in all of the downtown area?
It varies a lot. Considerably.
Yeah. Okay.
75s are usually, I think, the
downtown ones.
The ones that they're really trying to lay on big incentives that they have to.
So does the 25% for especially those DIA rev grants, do those go back to the general fund or do they usually go to DIA? They're going to go to the CSO DIA. Okay. Because that's CRA monies that go. So we can't take CRA monies when it comes to the downtown overlay, which is, frankly, the majority of the REV grants that we provide, correct? I know, I'm putting you on the spot here. Would you say 80% of all REV grants are in the downtown overlay?
It's probably 50-50.
Really?
All right. The bigger ones tend to be downtown because there's a bigger
portion of the. Okay. So it'll be good to kind of see what that number looks like.
Okay.
And that's my own lack of knowledge. I'll read the daily record and I'll see the REV grants for downtown mainly. They don't really show the rest of them. So that'll be good to know what that number looks like, because that could be a really good number. If that is the recurring funding that we're looking for, that could be huge. But certainly the ones that will affect CRAs, we cannot touch.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Please.
It's not impossible, I expect, to get the CRA to buy into this process. And to say that, in effect, the contribution comes from them, because I know for a fact in the downtown area particularly, I think they see that as an advantage of us addressing this issue.
I think there's no question of that. It's worth having a conversation with CEO Lori Boyer, but also CRAs have a lot of regulatory restrictions on what they're allowed to use their money on.
Sure.
It needs to be a part of their CRA plan, the plan that in which we approve. We just approved a bunch a month ago.
Right.
And the point is, we need to make sure it's built into the plan, and we need, usually the monies have to go to hard projects.
I get it.
So a trust may not be what they're, it's a good question to have.
Yep.
Maybe there's a way to do that. But just kind of know that's a possible impediment.
Okay.
But good to see.
Yep.
But overall, I do like this. I even wrote that on this piece of paper, that I overall like it. And then your community land trust thing. I love the idea. Right now, our land trust is probably crawling. They are so not. They haven't built it. We've not really given them any money yet either.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have 200.
thousand to play with. So right. if we're gonna do some heavy hitting with the land trust, we're gonna have to put up some real capital. I know, like Orlando, their land trust has done incredible work. They just did Hannibal Square, something that we might want to look at. But I think in Jacksonville, ours is trying to do more, kind of mini home type projects, which is great. But I'm eager to see where this land is that you're also looking at, because I want to make sure that whatever our land trust is doing, that it's in areas where they're not just in the hinterlands, right? Like, one of my major concerns when it comes to housing, especially for low income and the homeless, is that we're not just kind of putting them out
right
in the middle of nowhere where there's no transportation resources, things like that. We're not setting ourselves up or them up for success.
Correct. Yeah, that's a good point.
And to that point, right, that's why I brought up, I would hope that there'd be a housing trust and then a homeless trust, because the homeless trust, one of the things that I imagine we're going to ask them to do is make sure that we're providing wraparound services. So for people that are just looking for more affordable housing, they're not going to need those services. Mm-hmm. So it's just like a very different, there's going to be more mental health component. Like, there's a lot mm-hmm. that's going to go into solving homelessness in this city. And certainly we all know that.
Right.
And for those of us that have read the Critical Quality of Life, booklet, which is incredible, great work done by our colleagues. All that to say, I know I've spoken a lot. I'm incredibly grateful for you calling me into this. I really mean that.
No, absolutely. I appreciate your comments, and I'm sure both everyone here will think about more things. And again, this isn't the magic bullet, so to speak. This is one layer, to get rolling. I mean, could there be? I think there needs to be more than one layer to fill up the homeless trust fund to build affordable housing. This is one method out of I'm sure many that could be done, but it seems like this would be quickly enacted because it's not too cumbersome. It's give the money to JHFA, let them loan it out, let us start building. That was kind of the simplistic mindset that I had on it.
And keep in mind, if we were to create that trust, they could then give the money to JHFA, especially early on while they're trying to figure out other things that they want to get involved with. But like, perfect example, as I've spoken with folks at Sulzbacher, they're like $3 million behind where they need to be to build their next phase, which would do incredible work, especially for the male population, because right now the Sulzbacher Village is for families.
That's what he mentioned, that project.
So like, good stuff.
Let me turn it over to...
Please, yeah, I know, I know. Well, I've been speaking over you.
20 minutes of comments.
Well, that's all the time we have today.
Thank you. This is great work by everybody here. Just quick questions. The way I'm going to approach this is going to be very simple. As a business component, let's draw a blueprint first, right? So we have so many ideas tossing up right now, but we need to start from the beginning, right? And this is a great way to have the conversation. But before we go into all these other projects, we need to identify certain numbers, right? The mayor's transitioning report 3.1, is that a number that you guys did your homework on, that you feel that it's what's needed, or how did you come up with the 3.1 is my question.
I would say those are starting figures mm-hmm. that are in a Word document.
Okay.
I didn't know if I could feel like the auditors.
No. The auditors are cool. They can say, they can yell from back there.
Joe's pretty cool. They threw in the digital fingers.
Thanks so much for that. I appreciate it. And hey, look, I'm just going to echo what everyone else is saying up here on great jumpstart. We look forward to working together on getting this thing off the ground and greenlit. I would say to your question, the budgetary recommendations from the transition committee were thoughtful, right, and also respectful of what the overall transition budget was, right? Nobody came out and said, I want $72 million, right? That nobody went out and said, I'm going to grab all 25 for our thing because it's our thing. And so it was respectful. So it's in a Word document. Those are obviously editable and movable. And, when we talk about what the transition dollars could be used for, let's have that discussion, and we look forward to partnering.
Let me answer that question from the CQLI. The number we got from Changing Homelessness was about $13 million a year.
That's
exactly. And that was really, so that's part of the work we need to do, is to say, is that the real number.
That, that's exactly it. That's where I'm getting at right now. So 3.1, 13 here. Your budget is, I think you said you're estimating, what, like a $5 million with this proposal, roughly?
Just the number we said.
And so we have about $100,000 in the budget to continue the conversation with Don, if I'm not mistaken.
Don Gilman, right.
So,
and Cindy Funkhauser.
So can we initiate that part first? Because I don't want to initiate and getting, you know, processes done to then say, we need to come back. We need higher amounts or lower amounts. Can we start from the beginning? Can we already tap into a 100K? And how fast can we get some results from
right.
Don?
Well, as I said, the 100K was approved as part of the strategic plan, so it is in the budget. Mm-hmm. And so it's below the line right now, so we have to bring it forward as a proposal. Don was promised to bring back to me, I spoke to her just 2 days ago, that she will be bringing back some ideas for consultants. I would welcome this group to take it on. I don't need to own it, for sure. To say, let's answer that question. How much do we need? And what kind of return is that going to give us in terms of services? And to your point, then now get into the conversation where it comes from.
So I definitely think we need to bring it from below to above. That's number one. Number two, when we're talking about the homeless trust, one of the issues that I have with it, at least, and it's not obviously nothing against Miami, but my real question is, who is going to manage that trust? Simple as that. Right?
If I may, I envision that the $100,000 is going to help determine what the vehicle will look like.
Right.
So that's part of my hope.
The intent of that $100,000 is to answer those questions.
Got it. Yes. And then I actually am against having two trusts. I'd rather have one trust.
Right.
Affordable and homelessness. Simple as that. Why? Because when we have all these resources tapping into one trust, both are getting the love. If we just have two trusts, where are these resources going to go to? How do we determine affordable should get it first over homelessness? They're both crises. They're both problems that we have. So I think what we need to do is create one trust, and from that one trust, decide what the split will be for each category, 50-50, 45-55, whatever the case is. But just having one trust, I think, to me, is the best way right now, at the very least. Because right now, we don't know. Well, I mean, we know, but we don't really understand which one should go first. And they both should be going first at the same time, simultaneously. So to have two trusts, you're going to do a disservice to one of the other trusts, is my opinion. What do you think?
I believe affordable housing is the crisis, personally. And as far as creating an affordable housing trust fund, I mean, maybe this study can show that. I don't know. I'd rather just have one, and that one be homeless trust fund, and then we can create the description and the scope to, you know, say, yes, you can do this, you can, these are the things you can do with the homeless trust fund dollars. I'm sort of weary, but sort of not weary of spending more time on, the $100,000 study. And I don't really want to dive into that full thing right now. But I get where you're going with it, to know what the numbers are and what they would, you know, the deliverables for $5 million.
And you know, and it's not that we're going to get the numbers and we're going to use those numbers or accomplish that goal, that number. But what I don't want is for us to do all this work and then say we're not addressing the issue. We're still under, you know, coming under budget or whatever the case is. Like, I want to be able to understand what the real number should be, and then we could address it proactively, not just having other people from the audience say we need more money or we have a crisis and we need to do another J1 bill. Like, I want to avoid all that, so let's have the conversation now so we can actually have an understanding of where we're at and realistically what we can do, you know?
So you want to get the study to fine-tune this $5 million, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Did you want to go through the rest of your notes?
No. This is, we'll keep on conversations.
Okay.
Just a good thought. I think there's something like the PSG model, for example. Each year it may change as to where the priorities are, so the reallocation could be depending on that. With respect to affordable housing, if you take a look at the recommendations there, there are a lot of policy recommendations in there that we need to implement that don't cost us a lot of money. And, you know, with a new planning director and take a looking at some of those things. Yes, some funding is necessary there, but the solution to, not solution, and some portion of eradication of homelessness in our community is going to require ongoing commitment of funds. Mm-hmm. I'm not discounting what you're saying to say we should put them together in one, but I don't know if you can serve two masters. That would be my only concern. But your point's well taken, and we can take a look at it. We were very purposeful in breaking out the two topics, affordable housing, because quite honestly, affordable housing issue impacts far more people than those who are homeless, comparatively speaking. And I think it's more relevant to us district council mm-hmm. members because it's in our neighborhoods. And we want to help our neighbors in our neighborhoods. And so that focus needs to be there. And I think a lot of that, as you take a look at our report and what the administration has done, there are some policy things there. We can help address that probably faster than we can in the other process. I don't know if you can use this. I'm just thinking out loud here, but I'm not sure you can use the same solution for both, is my point.
Not to mention when it comes to, and I wasn't even necessarily truly suggesting we build out two trusts in the next year or whatever else. I'm just saying ideally I think that does solve major problems very early on. Just because your housing trust is going to specifically work with, as I mentioned before, those are getting LIHTC, your Vestcors, your Quarterlots, your big developers. And then your homeless, your housing trust is going to deal with your housing authority. It's going to deal with Solzbacher, and it's going to deal with changing homelessness in some of these more niche development markets that are completely different and have wraparound services, as I mentioned. Go ahead.
But with that being said, I mean, you just mentioned big, heavy hidden names mm-hmm. on one side than the other. And when you're just talking about partnering up with the private community, a $1,000 check mm-hmm. as a write-off, I see that happening more with affordable housing than with the homeless trust. So if you could tap into those checks to also benefit the homeless trust, that to me is an obvious clear-cut winner. They're going to benefit from the developers more than the homeless trust by itself.
Can you kind of rephrase that? I didn't really understand what you were saying.
So was it you that said, you know, we could get money from the private sector, from contributions, whatever the case is?
Yeah.
You did mention that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, being honest, being realistic, the private sector, you mentioned somebody like a Vestcor, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say they want to contribute $50,000.
I meant they're the developers who develop.
Okay.
Like, that's, I wasn't saying that they would be, I don't know, willing to yeah.
Write checks. But let's say people will write checks. They will more than likely write checks towards affordable housing over homelessness because that's what they live in the district, like Councilmember Boylan said. Mm. That's their district, and that's what they want to see, where they're not really dealing with downtown issues as much, which is where most of the homelessness is. So I think that the underlying issue would be we have a broader reach getting more private dollars when it comes to affordable housing than versus homelessness. So by tapping in homelessness together, they'll probably benefit out of it. So
I think we're all kind of talking about the same thing. I think what we really need to talk about is not here, mm-hmm. but like where this $100,000 is going to and what it's going to help study right. and tell us, mm-hmm. hey, you know, let's create the conduit, let's create the vehicle, whatever this. Again, we throw out the word homeless trust. And it will manage it. I mean, there's no question. I think it needs to be, if it is a 501c3, it'll be a nonprofit leader who's, you know, probably worked in the private sector for years or is now something like that. We've got a number of great people in this community that could do stuff like that. I had a comment, and I think I already forgot it. We are running a bit long. How much time do we have, Mr. Carlucci?
I'm good if y'all are good.
Well, meaning like, do we have an hour, or are we over 30 minutes?
George, how long do we have?
We're at 45 minutes right now.
Did we reserve it for an hour?
Okay. All right. So, I mean, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
No, go ahead.
I just want, you know, you mentioned, I don't know why we keep talking about Miami. We talk about Miami just because they've created a tried and true method in a major metropolitan area. Like, they're one of the largest MSAs in the country. And for them to do as well as they did is pretty incredible. And we are in Florida, right? Florida law is very different than that of the other states that we've looked at. So we looked at, I think, like Indianapolis. We looked at Atlanta. We looked at other cities. And it's just we need to make sure that we are still doing things in according with state law. So that's why, like, you're going to bring up a city that's done as well as they did. It's not as if I have some deep love for Miami-Dade. But they created a trust that is managed by the private sector and the nonprofit sector. They just get monies from the county of Miami-Dade. So that's why I'm like, that could be a really cool model for us, especially because we've got such a robust nonprofit and private sector community around us, many of which are now moving to our downtown. And though I do, want to push back on the idea that
There's more homeless people downtown than anywhere else. This is not just a downtown problem. This is a city of Jacksonville problem. This affects everyone in Duval County. It certainly affects our ability to attract businesses. One of the things that I dislike most when it comes to a new business coming to our beautiful city is when almost everyone wants to move to, dare I say it, Ponte Vedra or St. John's County or Nassau County.
Or District 5.
District 11.
no one wants to live in District 11.
We're done with 6. We're in 7.
Yeah. So no. But the point is, like, I feel like we get a lot of people that move here, or that move their business here, and then they live somewhere outside of Duval County, and that harms our schools, it harms our tax base, and sometimes it's contrary to the idea of, oh, I'm moving to Jacksonville, but then I go to the hinterlands. I mean, we have a lower tax rate than Clay County and St. John's County. Maybe not Nassau, but it's just crazy. People still move to those areas because it's better schools, you know, better opportunities, feel safer, whatever else. And so we really need to, if we truly think that we want to be a top-tier city, because there's no cities in those other counties, in our surrounding counties. We are the anchor of the region. So we must make ourselves, to me at least, a premier destination for young professionals, for families, and for any and all of the above to come here, live here, play here, stay here. And especially if we're going to be investing so much money in something like the Four Seasons and a potential stadium upgrade and all these cool things we're seeing in our downtown area, we really need to make sure that we are making an environment where nobody feels scared at night. And I've heard from a number of people who will walk around at night, not just in District 7, but in other parts of our city where they kind of feel a little scared. It's like, oh, you know, there's a homeless element here that's unlike any other. And it's not unlike any other, but we really could address it and eradicate it. And I think do it for far less money than we see in other major cities, right? We don't want to be in LA in 20 years. And we want to make sure that we're getting this stuff right while we're doing all this work and development in our urban core, right? If we're building a new stadium, if we're building a new neighborhood, let's make sure that we are not overlooking the people that have been, I mean, everyone in this room, when you walk out of here and you walk through James Weldon Johnson Park, you're going to see someone lying on the road screaming at the rain, right? Yeah. I mean, that's unsightly. Does that make you want to live and stay here? Also, how many people here live in St. John's County?
I do want to do.
But that's the point I'm trying to make.
It's a totally fair point. And if I could, I mean, Josh Hicks, would you mind sharing your thoughts on this, or do you have anything worth, not worth sharing, but willing to share? Yeah. Please come to the podium.
You have 20 minutes.
No.
No, I think I speak on the same mindset as Joe. I think this is a great start. I think, you know, in terms of our affordable housing subcommittee transition report for the mayor, as Joe mentioned, we knew that we were making recommendations for the mayor to take recommendations among those recommendations for that $25 million, you know, pot of money to implement. Affordable housing, you're talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars to address it. Over many, many years, you know, decades, to address the crisis here. So figuring out, y'all's point, figuring out the recurring funding, figuring out the trust on what we want to put together to address either affordable housing or homelessness, I think is a great start. And then after that, we can figure out what other metrics we want to have in place to build on that. Also, to Councilman Boylan's point, a lot of these recommendations in here are policy recommendations that can be changed, like zoning and permitting and other regulations, mm-hmm. Almost free of charge, you know, by the council passing an ordinance, changing single-family zoning from 91% down to a lower level, 80, 50, whatever y'all decide on with the administration support, to open up more properties and more development opportunities for multifamily units, mm-hmm. which then address the affordable housing crisis more so than some of these single-family units that just mm-hmm. takes time because you're doing them one at a time instead of these sure. larger developments. So I think this is a great plan to build on, and I'm looking forward to working with y'all however y'all want me to.
And Josh, I do appreciate that, and I think it's important to appreciate that in the strategic plan, the council strategic plan, we've got $1 million in emergency rental assistance. You have $2 million in your recommendation, so there's three right there.
Exactly.
We actually now have roughly $1.4 million for JALA. Yeah. to support not only eviction, but protection rights of the tenants in that process. So, exactly. That leveraging is there.
Exactly.
So I think we've made a good start as it relates to those. And as you said, if we focus on the policy issues, I think we can, and we are seeing rents not come down, but certainly the growth of them is changing. They're slowing down, at least. Yeah. It's still a crisis situation, don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But I think we've made some good inroads in terms of short-term support of affordable housing in our community, so while we take the time to focus on policy as well.
You have, absolutely, and it comes down to inventory on affordable housing and making sure we have the supply to meet the demand.
Correct.
And obviously we have large demand. I'll also point out, y'all did approve in the budget $50,000 for an affordable housing study as well from the CQLI. So I believe that's gonna maybe go to the Florida Housing Coalition or some group outside, I don't know.
We pulled it out.
Oh, you pulled it out. Okay.
I took it out only from the vantage point, the work you already did and the work we already did. I didn't want to, another study wasn't necessary. The intent of both the 100,000 and the 50 is really try to get people to embrace what needs to be done, answer some hard questions.
Fantastic.
I think the affordable housing piece, we've got a pretty good handle as to what, to your point, it's inventory.
I was going to save it. Yeah.
You didn't cut any checks yet, did you?
No.
Well,
$50,000.
I wanted to keep the 100, so I gave up the 50. Let's put it that
that's
way.
That's totally fine. I think we have two studies here that are very thorough that brought in not only community minds, great community minds from the nonprofits doing the work already in the field, but also the developers, JWB and others, Vescore, who had a piece in both of our studies, and their recommendations are incorporated in
I
here.
I think with Chris Carruthers at
Chris Carruthers. With,
I think we need that. We need a hub in this process. It's the only role that I thought I saw the coalition playing was being a hub to make sure everyone's coming together. If Chris can do that, or your office can do that, that needs to happen.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I just had a quick, I just want to make sure there's a point of clarification for that $3.1 million. So first, that $25 million, was it 13 and a half of which was ARPA funds, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So federal dollars that we're not getting next year.
Yes.
Right? Correct. And then what was the other 12? What was that from?
General fund.
That was general fund? All right.
General fund.
So When I mean, you guys asked for $25 million like days after you came into office. So it was just kind of an arbitrary number, correct? And then we kind of built out the monies through the transition reports.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure.
So may I?
Please.
The 13 was, if I'm not mistaken, Councilman Boylan, was left over from the previous administration. Lenny Curry left it over for Mayor Deegan so she could use it how she needs to use it. We're not getting that, and that will expire by December of 24.
Mm-hmm.
We have to use all that by then.
Those are the ARPA funds?
The ARP, yes.
Okay.
Correct. The 12 is from the general fund. Now, piggybacking that question, the 3.1, obviously we're using it now from the transitioning team, but moving forward next year, we're not going to have a transition team. We're not going to be having this conversation next year.
We'll also likely get more money next year from property taxes.
So my question would be to the administration, does the mayor plan on adding this to her budget next year, officially, the 3.1, or does she see an increase in it? What I don't want to see is just having 3.1 this year, and then next year there's no other initiatives. Is there any sort of commitment moving forward past year one on that part from the administration?
Well, let me just a couple things. Before we move to next year's budget, we just finished this year's budget.
I understand that, yes.
So,
yeah.
And
because you are planning right now for future years.
Yeah, but I do think if you look at the recommendations, you'll see a one-year pilot with potential recurring, right, with data outcomes to support expansion ongoing and investment. So there is an appetite for that. On the ARP funding, I just want to clarify one thing. The money needs to be dedicated by September of 24. That was the technical amendment or the technical piece that you guys all saw yesterday. I think it's the end of September of 24. And then out the door by December of 26 is, I believe, the...
Okay,
so it's dedicated by 24 and then actually out the door by 26.
Well, so that's fine.
I
understand that, but to me, that's a disservice to the community. We need to dedicate it and use it by 24.
I just wanted to clarify that.
So let's just make sure
point.
That we're all on the same page of that part, because otherwise, then what's the point, right? There's an emergency, there's a crisis, we're having these conversations now, is to use it now, not in 3 years from now.
No one wants to go slower.
Yeah. I guess I don't understand. We are using it this year, are we not?
Yeah. Okay. I thought Raul said he had it dedicated to something like that.
kidding, Mayor's
thanks, Joe. Yeah. 5 minutes, okay. Thank you, Josh, for that. Everyone's... All right, anything else?
So last point of
My only comment would be the 100K. We need to figure out when we can start bringing it from below to above. That's.
I'll meet with Council President Salem about putting together a group to spearhead that work.
Sure. Thank you.
I'd like to be part of it, but not lead it.
That's fine. I think we have our leader right here for this part.
You
or
do.
Right there.
Yeah, I'll pass that baton to Jimmy.
So I'm already on a special committee.
Well, you could use another one because you're extra special.
You heard it here, folks.
So thank you guys for coming. Again, this was me just trying to add in one extra layer of keeping it simple, getting money that we have out the door, and building units, and also recouping those dollars to be used again and to have the interest from those dollars be funded or flowing into a homeless trust fund that is probably a whole nother, you know, meeting, study, whatever. But we needed to start with some type of model, some type of way other than taxes. And this was the one of the reasons I found. So one other thing to Councilmember Ayers' point. The ask, if we kind of huddle up on this and we say, yeah, let's do it, would be to get a firm commitment of dollars over the course of 5, 10, whatever, how many years. I mean, we're only here for 4 years, so I guess 4 maybe might be the magic number, but it would be to have a commitment past just 1 year. So,
and one real quick, take a look at Pastor Barlow's letter that's in the report, because he had a different path.
Okay.
If we're giving out completion grants and other grants to developers in the process, a percentage of that should come back to the Homeless Initiative as well. That was his idea. If I didn't mention this, he would probably shoot me, so I'm going to mention it here.
Right. Good deal. Okay. Anything else?
Just thank you very much for joining us today. We were not expecting this audience, so thank you all for the commitment as well.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. We are adjourned.
Thanks, Jojo.
Yep.
Thank you, Councilmember Carlucci.
No problem.
All right.